Blog Talk Radio.
Tempo God, let's go. Little Madam Doc Collins. Everybody got dirt on their hands and ain't no man safe. I'm a walking lab rat just trying to escape. Trust me, bro, you don't want this smoke. Lowe's known for heavy bars and a mind that's woke. Everybody got dirt on their hands and ain't no man safe. I'm a walking lab rat just trying to escape. Trust me, bro, you don't want this smoke. Those known for heavy bars and the mind to smoke. I speak treason, telling the truth the few believe in. Trying to walk a path of peace in the land of heathens. I guess nobility's lost. Only a handful of us left down is willing enough to carry a cross. You versus God may win, but times four. Any man can claim king, but is your bloodline pure? I handily still convene under green canopy. Smoke screen, militant regime. My family see the damage. You are the man gonna be gifted with a weapon heavy enough to fit the angels can lift it. The embodiment of anger that's righteous and that's the difference. Deliverer of sapient science, fighting the river. With an assembly of sentience integrated with pious quivers. A situation of persons that hit it, biting at the bit.
Okay, we're back. Part two. Hello.
What up? What up? Chilling like a true fat kid with a ginormous fucking plate, red beans, rice, and kielbasa sausage.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, well, I know, man.
I hope you brought your appetite because we've got a big, big, massive serving of the legendary one tonight. We starting in the year 2000. Starting in the year 2000 where we left off last week.
Actually,
I'm hearing an echo.
It was the, yeah, it was like 1997 when me and RC went to Atlanta. And, you know what I'm saying? We didn't really, on the promise of a record deal, which did come true, RC was like, let's go down to Atlanta. I got a hookup with this label called Majesty Records, and we got a record deal waiting for us, you know, and he felt like even more displaced than I did at the time, which, you know, we were all young and we made the greatest decision due to the ridiculous amount of alcohol that we drank, you know, so, you know, instead of having a conversation like, you know, adults would have, me and RC write this letter of putting out angst and left it on Beanie's doorstep in a bitch move. Looking back, I'm like, what the fuck? So we took a, yeah, you know, it was a letter. It was a very stern letter, you know. But I think Beanie still has it.
we need to post it on the socials.
I don't know if Bean still has it. He had it for the longest time. He probably still does, like in a box with a bunch of our old cassettes and shit, you know. But RC had a Geo Metro at the time. And if you've never been inside a Geo Metro, it's small. Even for normal-sized people, let alone giants who are full of slop like myself, and RC wasn't exactly a skinny guy either. So we drive all the way down to Atlanta, Georgia, and he tells me we're going to be staying with his brother. Well, his brother calls somewhere along the trip. I didn't get to listen in on the conversation, but they get into an argument. I wasn't told this until we get down there to Atlanta. And we go to this awesome studio. And I had heard, you know, if you were in a soundproof booth to get the best vocal sounds. You know, you want to have as much dampening, sound dampening as possible. But when I tell you, I stepped into this booth at this studio and my ears popped because there was no outside sound. And it was just, it was the most awesome, like, time. And just to be able to hear the true sound of your own voice was awesome to me. And I'm like, oh, man, this is what it is. And if you could believe it or not, a tiny cricket somehow found its way into that room. And we could not find it. And every single time that I went in there to record, this cricket starts going ape shit and gets restless leg syndrome. So all you can hear echoing through any track, as soon as the beat plays, this cricket starts going at it. Which I don't know if it was a real, if it was the cricket giving me props. It's like, man, I can't stand still. But yeah, we couldn't find it. We finally did. You know, got this fucker out of there after about a week and a half. But
damn, so it was like doing the ad lib story and shit.
You know, true to the story, we went straight to the studio as soon as we got into Atlanta. And like I said, this is 1997. It's the year that ATLians dropped from Outkast. We got there the day before that album dropped. And there was two FM radio stations that broadcast simultaneously. It was 105.3 and 107.6. And Ludacris was known as Chris Lubba Lubba at that time, and he was a DJ and radio personality at this radio station. So we was listening to Luda before he was Luda, you know. And not to get sidetracked, but I did get to meet Outkast at a Waffle House, of all places. I didn't even know who they were. I'd never seen them before. And RC is like, man, you know who that is? I'm like, no. He's like, man, that's Outkast. And I was like, who? You know? And yeah, at first, and then the next day, you know, ATLians dropped. And just like anybody else that's a good listener of hip-hop, that is, in my opinion, the best album that Outkast has ever put out, hands down. Every single track, to me, was a hit. And they played at least 7 or 8 songs off that album frequently in rotation on the radio. So it was a really good time. And it was before Freaknik got canceled. And I'd never heard of Freaknik before. But the college down there, if you've seen the animated cartoon Freaknik, it was just like that. There was ass and titties everywhere. Like, I was in the middle of it. I didn't even know what it was until after the fact. You know, like, in the spirit of Freaknik, there was like 4 cars on the freeway that stopped on the freeway. So these dudes that were, you know, fresh out of college could holler at these chicks. Literally, and I had the traffic helicopter flying over there like there was an accident. Nope, they just over there macking on each other. I'm like, wow, this place is awesome. But because RC had fallen out with his brother, we were sleeping in a Geo Metro. Not very comfortable. Plus, we had all our stuff in the Geo Metro with us, and we had some jank-ass stereo that was factory, had no cassette player, no CD player. We was we hooked up with an auxiliary jack into it and had an old-school ghetto blaster in the back seat playing our cassettes and shit, right? It was classic, yeah. And because we were poor, we hadn't had jobs yet, which we did immediately get. We both became chefs at Waffle House, ironically, because they're everywhere in Atlanta. So RC would work one shift. I'll be sleeping in the car. And then he'd come out when his shift was over and wake me up. I'd go in for my shift. And that only lasted for about 5 days because I got fed up to the point where I was ready to fight. And I'm like, man, call your fucking brother, dude. Which he did. And his brother had a motel room that he was paying weekly. So we went there and stayed for about 2 weeks with his brother. And then his brother put all of us to shame when it comes to bad habits, because this dude was a crack smoking freight train. And it's, I mean, it didn't matter if you smoked or not. You were getting high. We were in a motel room, you know? So I'd be waking up having some crazy crack dreams and stuff like, man, what the fuck? You know? And he's in the bathroom. You just see smoke like Cheech and Chong coming out from under the door. And I'm like, I was having a hard time with it because I had just gone from my 1440 a day, you know, vitamin regimen to no 40s a day. Like, I didn't have a beer for like a little over 2 weeks. I was losing my fucking mind. So when I finally did get one, oh, man, that was my crack rock. And, you know, it's kind of like RC was like trying to govern, kind of like basically balance me out, which may, I mean, his intentions were probably pure, but, you know, I'm a rebel, so I rebelled with my fist in the air like Public Enemy. And I'm like, man, fuck that. I'm a walking lab rat that rats, and I love beer. So don't try to make me go straight edge, dude, because I'll go straight over the edge and drag you by your throat with me, you know? And there's the fact, RC is a dear friend of mine. He really is. I mean, just like all of CFG. You know, we did make it through the dark times and the ignorance. But, you know, while I'm down there, I'm like, I got to meet a lot of professional people in the business. And I got to meet Eric Sermon. And RC doesn't bother to mention that we got this dude named Chico. XL got to meet him, like, previously on a trip down there with RC. I did not know that Chico was Eric Sermon's DJ, EPMD's DJ. Never, ever crossed my mind. I did not know that for, like, almost the whole time that we were rolling down there until we got invited to Chico's house. Chico is Jamaican, and I met quite a few Jamaicans down there. But you want to talk about some of the coolest, most awesome people, kick it with some Jamaicans. You know, they'll teach you some things, you know, but don't piss one off. Because the second day in Atlanta, they got what's called the Boulevard. The Boulevard is essentially Broad Street in Columbus, goes east to west. Only Atlanta is roughly 10 times bigger than Columbus. And you got to picture this. RC starts going down the Boulevard. And not to put, you know, color into the mix, but just to paint the picture, I have not seen a white person for about 20-some blocks. And the neighborhood's getting lower budget, I guess you would say, being politically correct, if I am ever. He takes us right down to essentially what is a huge dope spot. They didn't have trap houses. These guys are on the porch kicking it, and there's a whole squad. There's like 14 of these dudes that are chilling on this porch, and we're rolling down there bumping Beastie Boys loud as fuck on this ghetto blaster. And RC hits the brakes and swerves right over here in front of this dope spot. And I'm like, are you serious, bro? Like, ain't no Kool-Aid in my blood, but I don't look forward to getting my ass kicked by 14 dudes, you know? So I'm like, RC, are you sure this is the spot? And he's like, trust me, bro, I got this. You know, at the time, it was kind of goofy. I mean, it's like he was sincere but goofy, you know what I'm saying, in social situations. So he gets out, and the only thought that crossed my mind was, we are about to get stomped. Fuck. But whatever, I can't let my boy go out like that, you know. So as soon as I get out the car, these dudes start standing up, and I'm like, oh, boy. And they don't look like the nicest fellas, and they're definitely not a welcome committee. Or maybe they were, you know, come to find out. But they all start walking towards us, and there's just obvious, angry-looking, skinny little Jamaican dude. Come to find out, these guys are a rap squad. And they were performing that night. What ended up being cool was RC was legitimately cool with these guys. And Face and Fury were Jamaican brothers. They both made beats and they both rapped. But their whole crew's kicking it here. Smoking weed and shit like that, drinking 40s. And they immediately gave me dap and was like, oh, you here with him? Oh, you got to be cool then. And I'm like, oh. Oh, awesome. But don't let your guard down. You know what I'm saying? So we actually go up in this crack building, and I see one other white person that comes down the block. It happens to be a crack whore. You know? And it just turned into a really unique situation because I get zeroed out because I oversee this huge dude that makes me look little. And he comes down there and his bag of crack falls out his pocket because he's a dealer too. But he got caught slipping, and I watch Fury, like, as soon as he gets up, grab this huge bag of crack and stick it in his pocket. Dude goes away. I ain't thinking nothing about it. One of the guys in the crew, he's like, man, let me hear you rap and shit. So I'm freestyling in this hallway watching people sell crack and smoke crack and all this stuff, and we're just kicking it. You know, RC's up in the house making a beat with Face, the Fury. I'm out here in the hallway kicking it with the homies and shit. You know what I'm saying? I just got my hall pass just by being a dope lyricist. So I'm like, all right, cool. Yeah. Well, this big Debo-sized dude, and I'm not joking, he roughly was about the size of Debo in Friday. He comes back down here, and I happen to be outside with this dude, Fife, smoking a blunt. And dude immediately thinks that because I'm a white dude, I stole his crack. Now, I'm not going to snitch out these dudes that are showing me love, but I'm looking for, like, a little homie support here. Like, this is not my hood. This is not my block. I've never been here before in my life. I might get shot here in a minute. It'd be dope if I don't. Well, this is where I found out the loyalty level of Jamaicans is above and beyond, because you do not fuck with anybody that they consider a friend. Point in case, dude doesn't make it to the porch. He's walking up, and he's like, hey, that honky motherfucker stole my crack. And I'm like, bitch, I wasn't even out here. You know what I'm saying? And he's like, oh, man. He goes to reach in his pants in a, like, what I assume was probably where his pistol was. Man, Fury launches from seated position on the stairs, and he's a little dude in comparison, man. He's, like, looking at the center of this dude's chest. And he goes up and flips his knife out of nowhere and puts it to his throat and immediately starts talking in Jamaican, which, interestingly enough, Rastafarian is French, like deep south Louisiana type accent, and English all together. And I don't know how they come up with that, but that's what they speak, you know, when they get pissed or when they don't want you to know what the fuck they're talking about. But he about to slice this dude's throat for me, and he just met me like an hour ago. And I'm like, so this is Atlanta, huh? I am impressed. You know? And well, cool enough, they're like, man, we want you to go, we want you and RC to go to the club with us tonight. We're opening up for Boot Camp Click and the Bush Babies. Okay, not my favorite roster of rappers, but okay, we're down.
The Bush Babies.
This crew that we're rolling with was New Jeru Entertainment.
Like 30 fucking years.
Well, oh, it gets better. Because of me, our car got broken into. Well, not our car. It was RC's. Now, this is how it goes down. This is some true hater shit. We go to the club. Chico meets us there. Whole squad. And there's like 17 or 18 of us. There's 14 in the rap group, New Jeru, at the time. So they're kind of like Wu-Tang. And they just got a girl member that day, and she was dope too. So we go up in the club. Nobody gets frisked in our squad. And at least five of them has got guns and knives. So I'm like, not really concerned about it. But I'm like, all right, that's cool. Everybody else got patted down, but we were armed. So I felt pretty confident about the, you know, my safety at this point. Now, the World Club that we went to is a warehouse. There's two stories, has four bars in it, two on each level. And you can't hear shit if somebody wants to talk to you. And we're down there, and we were just supposed to be spectators. Well, Chico comes down, he was up in the DJ booth, and he motions for me and RC. I'm like, RC, man, Chico wants us. He's like, man, I'm going to go get us a beer. I'm like, well, that sounds great. I'll go see what he wants. So I go up there, and he's like, look, man, I don't want to put you on the spot, but he's like, you know you're really good, and you wouldn't be here, and I wouldn't ask you to do this any other reason. I want you to perform tonight. And I'm like, dude, we ain't got none of our beats or nothing like that. He was like, I'm quite sure you can improvise, right? Like, yeah, sure. Well, fortunately for me, being the Wu-Tang fan that I am, the song Triumph, the video hadn't dropped yet. It wouldn't drop for another 2 weeks. I got to hear the song 2 weeks before anybody else did. And I got to rap to the beat to Triumph, which was awesome.
Yeah.
And Chico's like, man, don't take this personally, but I don't want RC to perform with you. And I'm like, why? He's like, man, he's like, he means well and he's cool, but you guys do not mesh well. Your topics might be the same, but you are definitely a better lyricist and your delivery is better. And it would just be best if, you know, you show out on your own. I'm like, shit. I don't take that as a diss at all. I mean, I kind of always thought that in the back of my mind, like, you know, our styles aren't the same. Clearly, he's straight up old school. I got my training from the old school, but just developed my own style and just incorporated everything that I thought was dope, you know? And apparently I was correct. So
now you're like a rock and a hard place.
Yeah. Well, you know, I go back down there, and I was like, look, just give him a shot. You know, he might surprise you. So Chico's like, all right, go ask him if he wants to rock with you. So being that Chico switched it up, and he's like, man, all right, you know, if you're vouching for him, you got to see something that I ain't heard yet. So I'm like, all right, we just traveled 900 miles from my home city to get a record deal. He better fucking rap with me, you know. But just to show that he wasn't ready at the time, I don't know what his inner reasons truly were, but he's Irish. He could drink every bit as much as I could. And he had only had one beer and said that he was too drunk to perform. Sure, whatever helps you sleep at night, I got this. I'll represent Columbus my goddamn self. And I did. But I remember I had this bar. I was like, scoffing a prophet. If you scoff when a prophet drops it, my bars will be there like a prison on top of it. Well, apparently, there was a dude named Prophet that was with the boot camp clique, and he thought I was dissing him. I had no idea what any of their names were. I didn't listen to boot camp clique, you know. And, you know, I'm up there spitting. Apparently, I offended, at least one guy in the crowd by being good. So these goons saw the vehicle that me and RC rolled up in, and while I'm performing, they go outside, bust the window in the car, steal all our demo tapes, all our duffel bag with all our lyrics. And we was writing albums. We probably had 7 albums written in 2 weeks. We was just on some furious shit. They stole all of it, every bit of it. And there was 2 40 ounces in the car. And they stole 140, but they left one. So when a motherfucker come out and was like, what the fuck? I figured at least there was a 40 there so you could drink it, like, God damn it, man. Not so. Man, and this was
I'm
when
wondering
I got
if
to find
that's
out.
Like if that's like, you know, Helta Skelta, like, or OGC, you know, members of boot camp doing that.
Was what? No, I
like guys that we've seen on TV
that,
stealing your shit.
Like, I didn't get a chance to battle this guy back. Because everybody in New Jeru took it upon themselves to stick up for me. Not that I needed them to. They just attacked boot camp, quick, Bush babies, everybody they were opening up for just started laying them down. And I'm like, oh, fuck yeah. Well, there was some drunk elderly fellow that insisted on trying to rap battle me after I got off stage. Now, mind you, we're on the right by the dance floor, and he picked, standing maybe 5 feet from one of these huge-ass PA systems, which is blaring in my ear. I have no idea to this day what this guy was saying, but he insisted. He come up like, I want to fucking battle you. And I'm like, I wouldn't advise doing it now. You can barely speak, sir. You might want to wait till tomorrow. I'll take you up on it, though. Yeah. Trust me, you'll hear and see more of me real soon. Well, he didn't want to wait. And I thought we was about to dance there for a minute, because this drunk bastard damn near put his chin on my shoulder like, you know, we're having a waltz or some shit. Insist on yelling slurred words that I could not understand in an attempt to humiliate me.
Oh, fuck.
And I'm standing there humoring this guy, like, and then, you know, Fury comes up and he's like, man, he kind of got a, I think he kind of understood basically what was going down, because I apparently pissed off a lot of people. And I wasn't trying to. All I did was rap, you know. And I didn't diss anyone in particular. I just happened to be better than half the dudes that was on the stage, you know. Not my fault. If you're going to be a rapper, learn words. That's where all the mumble rapper dropouts that might mosey across YouTube and hear this. I know.
Ah, this guy could have been the first mumble rapper. That's what's his problem.
Yeah, quite by accident. It was born from alcohol. Suffice it to say, you know, we get out there, and I knew before we even got to the car, I saw the broken glass. I'm like, oh, man. Well, Chico and his son, who had come out, see what has happened, and they made the connection, immediately brandish firearms and start walking back towards the club. Now, I know there's no way they could have known who was responsible for it. So Chico bust like a couple shots in the air to get everybody's attention as they're coming out. And him and his son both begin speaking Rastafarian very angrily, very fast. And I have no idea, but I can only assume that they're sticking up for us and threatening people. So I'm like, yeah, motherfucker, what the fuck ever he said? You know, RC's so pissed, he takes the remaining 40 ounce, like, ah, fuck, and throws it and shatters it on the ground. And I'm like, I'm more concerned at this point for the beer. Like, fuck!
Yeah, that's the worst thing that happened.
Oh, yeah. Throw away the remaining beer after you just found out you got robbed. I'm like, man, fuck. So,
unforgivable.
And Judas Dave, I have heard, I promise you, on everything I love, I have heard hip-hop come out of Atlanta in the past, like, not currently, but in the following couple of years, I heard bars that I know I wrote from rappers that were coming out of there. And I'm like, fuck me, dude. There's no way I could prove it, but I know what I wrote, you know. And, you know, I told Jeremy.
There's probably a song somewhere where someone literally says, I'm the low or something.
I mean, for an aspiring rapper that was too lazy to write without being a, you know, high school graduate, I did fucking homework for whoever got a hold of that shit, because, you know, I wrote serious bars, dude, lots and lots of them. And I'm like, I mean, we had albums, literally albums, you know, I probably had two or three solo albums written. And I'm not saying it was all dope, but about 90% of it was, you know. Well, I'd say 75%. And just in case Joey hears this later and he's like, and ain't no way he was writing 90% back in the day, I heard CFG. Yeah. I'm just playing, Joey. Love you, bro. But, so, I felt some type of way because RC refused to perform with me. So, when we went to the studio, Majesty Records, I'm like, man, I don't want to do an album with him. But we had already been handed a contract that had both our names on it. And both of us had copies of it. And basically what it was, because we did not have a corporate sponsor or whatnot, I found out, yeah, it was awesome. I knew I was at least good enough to get a record deal in Atlanta, you know, during the time of Wu-Tang Forever just dropped. AZ Aliens is going good. And these guys are like, yeah, you're good enough. We'll take you. But we'll do a 14-song album, and you're going to have to pay us $5,000 advance. I was like, wait a minute, that's not how I was told that it was. You're supposed to pay me. Yeah. Well, because we came from nowhere, you know, it honestly was a good deal had we have had the $5,000 to hand them, you know, and it was basically we paid $5,000 to record 14 professional tracks on the album, free artwork. They do international promotion for us, international distribution on them. But I sat down and I was like looking at the numbers and shit, and I'm like, what percentage of this album do we get to keep? You know, it ended up being about 39%, which, from what I'm told, is actually pretty good for
sounds good.
Yeah, I mean, everybody sticking their hands in our pocket, and we're still coming away with 39. But that 39 had to be split in half. So, you know, shit. I was like, man, I know. Like, the thing that sucked, though, really, about the whole situation is everyone had already heard RC everywhere we went. And we were trying to push a product with both of us that would advance both our careers and put us in the game. And everybody's coming to me behind his back like, dude, you need to go solo because you are clearly the better writer and the better performer. And I'm like, man, this is kind of shitty, you know. But, you know, I didn't want to tell him at the time because I'm like, man, that would be a morale crusher, you know. I'm like, you know, finally, me and him got into a really heated argument, you know, at one point just before I jumped on a bus, on a Greyhound bus, and came back to Columbus, you know, and I was like, man, I don't care, you're lame, fuck you, you know, and nobody likes you, you know. You're like snow in the wintertime, you know. You're the end pieces of a loaf of bread. You're tossed to the side, you know. I was just making all kinds of references to things that were unwanted, you know, like you're the flu when you got to go to work, you know. And shit. And, I mean, I can look back on it and laugh, but, you know, then I was like, I just ain't about this no more, dude. This, you know, you want to stay down here, you can stay down here, but I can't do an album with you. But I am going to take my copy of this recording contract back to show everybody who said I would never be able to do it and show them it's that fucking easy for me. You know what I'm saying? Because I am that good. Whether or not the next person likes it, you ain't got to like it. You can kiss my ass. You can walk on down the road and say, fuck you, low, you know, whatever the fuck you feel like. But there are those with brains and the ability to think that know what good music is supposed to sound like. And they're like, that guy, he gets it, you know?
Yeah.
So I came back to Columbus, and then it was time to face the music. I had to make amends with CFG, and I was humbled. I deserved to be, you know, called out by everybody that was in it. I dissed everybody that was there, you know, and I was prepared for it. You know, I was like, man, they deserve to say fuck you 100 times, you know,
yeah,
or 101 maybe. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, this was before the first CFG album dropped. And, you know, I got my just rewards on album release day. You know what I'm saying? And because it was put in, it was kind of put in my face, and I probably deserved it. It was like, oh, yeah, man, see, you dissed us, and fuck you, you ain't on it. Well, you're right. I'm not. You know what I'm saying? Congratulations, fellas. And then come to find out it was an executive decision, and not everybody that was on the album got to vote on it, you know, because they wanted different people wanted different songs, different people, you know, was like, you know, this, that, and the other, and there were better choices and stuff like that. But, you know, this, what is this? It's still a classic album, you know.
As far as it being a group album, that's interesting breakdown here as far as, you know, how many songs everyone was on. Of course, there's 14 songs.
I mean,
Beanie was on 12. Extra Large was 8. Toboggan 5. Sandman 4.
See, and I know you were there. You were there lurking behind the scenes. You were the last member of the what would become the CFG family that I got to meet, and you were also the most elusive there for a minute, man. What if I didn't know me, I'd probably, you know, be quick to fade into the shadows as well, you know. But
yeah, it was probably not until like 2002 that me and you started recording together and stuff. And then we just did it a lot.
And that was after me and XL, I think you stayed in them apartments off of Rome Hilliard Road.
Yep.
And
we recorded there. We recorded at XL.
No, dude, I've recorded in some really strange places before. You know, I've recorded with a mic hanging from a fucking tree in someone's house, like a plant. And there's a mic draped over. A Rock Band mic, by the way. You know, that track I played for you, me, Clint, and Jeremy. Literally, there was a Rock Band mic, a $10 mic, hanging from a branch on a tree in the front room while we're standing around with beer cans trying to make a wall, you know? It's fucking fantastic, man. It really is. I wouldn't trade this life for anything, man. I've had some of the greatest experiences ever, you know, hands down, both positive and negative. But, you know, the negative makes you stronger, but Lord have mercy, man. I have had some awesome times with you guys, man. Fuck yeah, CFG forever, man. Well,
so what I don't know what RC and Beanie, but RC was writing a diss song about Beanie, you were telling me last week in our little post interview.
Yeah. What if, you know me, man, I'm always on the lookout. I'm like a not paid recruiter. I should get paid for recruiting people that I do, because I have a pretty good knack for finding people with talents and characters that just nobody else is like them, you know. And they work. We work as a team, you know. It's just, just like if you go on my Reverb Nation, man, I have that pretty much that whole set that me, you, Jeremy, Sandman, Chaos, all of us, that whole performance. And if you didn't know us and you just looked objectively, you'd be like, what the fuck is going on? There's a lumberjack. there's like a dude that looked like he sell pills in the shadows and listen to alternative music and skateboards, you know what I'm saying? And then the Sandman who never stopped moving anyway, so he's like orbiting, zigzagging around. And, you know, my cousin Chaos, he's just like, he's like that frat boy, you know, who's just looking for the next beer. He just walked up and snatched the beer out Lori's hand and walked back on stage drinking. And I'm up here looking like a roadie for Van Halen and shit with long-ass hair and shit. I was like, wow, man. Just wow. You know, it ended up, you did you did one of the greatest things ever. You did what I did, but the next level. And I think it was kind of by accident when you made that Facebook Columbus Rap Artist group. Man,